This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to continue get you ready for opening day. Joel Goldberg joins us on the show today. Joel, happy to have you on the show, man. We appreciate you.
C-Dot, time to come out of hibernation. What's going on?
I'm doing great, man. Let's start with this. Where are you out on sauerkraut? I'm giving it a thumbs down. Rob is giving it a thumbs up. Where are you at with sauerkraut? Do you put it on your Polish sausage or on your hot dogs?
I'm putting it somewhere beyond where you went. Two thumbs down.
Are you a relish person?
I love relish. You know, I'm a Chicago guy. I mean, we moved to Chicago when I was 13. I would like to say I'm an expert because I worked at a hot dog place in the town I grew up in through all of high school. And then when I came home from college, I would work there. So I have 8 years of putting all the fixings on a Chicago-style dog. And mine is mustard, relish, onion, could go grilled onion on that, and then pickle. I don't mind pickle on there. Celery salt's a Chicago thing. I love that, and the hot sport peppers.
I will say this about onions. There's no food that, like, if I could tell 15-year-old me, hey, you're going to love this when you're an adult, I never would have guessed onion. It was just one of those things that kid, like, ooh, I hate onions. Now, yeah. You know what? I love onions. I love the crunch. I love the taste of it. Give me an onion.
Yeah, and then a grilled onion on that hot dog or a Polish sausage is amazing. I always liked onions. The one that I got later in life, to not get too far off topic, was asparagus. I thought that was the most disgusting thing ever. Now, like the last 10 years, I like it.
Right now, we're talking to Joel Goldberg, just getting his thoughts on baseball and food. That's, you know, two things we can always talk about on this show. Joel, yeah. Before we talk about this year's team, tell us about your first opening day. What was your first experience interviewing a player after opening day?
Oh, boy. I don't remember. I just remember in 08 here. I don't remember who my guest was that game. I should go back and look it up. I just remember that the Royals were up in Detroit. It was 08. And I think they swept them, and it was just like they weren't supposed to be that good that year. And you had a little bit of that, like, hey, maybe they will be good, and it was only three games. So I don't know. I don't remember who I interviewed, if it was. I mean, I remember a lot of the people that were in the lineup, David DeJesus and Billy Butler and I think Mark Tian and some, you know, names that you might not remember, like Ross Glode was probably in there and John Buck. But I don't remember who I interviewed, and of course, I don't remember who I interviewed last year's opening day either, so I don't know what that says about me.
I feel like everybody's opening day is one of the teams in the American League Central. Like, my first Royals game was a Royals and Twins game. So if you have an opening day memory, it's probably about Cleveland, Chicago, Minnesota, Detroit, one of those teams. They always play them on opening day.
Totally. And, you know, in part, I think they do a lot of those division games out of the gate because you know that with weather and different things going on, you got a chance to make up more later. Or I don't know. I mean, it'd be fun to see, you know, some National League or team you don't see too much come in. But the thing, I kind of like getting some of the division games out of the way now. There are less of them. It's, you know, it's 13 of them instead of 19, but it's still a lot. Versus, like, the one thing I hate is when you face, not necessarily opening day, but when you face, say, the Mariners in April, and then maybe you see them in September, and it's like, you know, you see them so infrequently that if you see, and then if it's a National League team, like if you were to see the Phillies this week, you'd never see them again until next year. So in some ways, I don't mind the division rivalry, but you're right. I mean, it's like, feels like every year of late, it's been like the White Sox or Cleveland or Minnesota.
So, Joel, let's start with this about this year's team. And I imagine you talk to people that come up to you at the grocery store and they say, hey, how did this offseason go? And they maybe didn't keep up with it. They have their own stuff going on, football, whatever it is. How would you describe this offseason to a casual who is going to watch and keep up with the Royals for the first time tomorrow?
The very simple way I would describe it is they did everything they wanted to do. They checked every box they wanted to check except for one, which was finding, you know, one more power hitter, preferably a, you know, a corner outfielder. And when they fell short on that one, not for lack of effort, they just took that money and instead of investing it in something that maybe they didn't want at that spot, they invested it in a closer and made their bullpen even better. They, to go a little bit deeper, they got the leadoff man that they wanted. They reinforced the rotation, which was absolutely needed to keep where they were at, having traded away Brady Singer for Jonathan India. And they went out there, and so they took care of the rotation, and then they upped that bullpen. And I think the last piece, Carrington, which is more recent, is that they're adding, to me it seems like, some of these little finishing pieces early instead of late. Meaning, let's just say that Vinny Pasquantino can't play first tomorrow. And I don't know the answer to that yet, but I suspect that if things go okay, he's going to end up DHing. So who's your first baseman? It's probably Mark Canha, who they got last week from Milwaukee, a guy that's been around a long time, a little over a week ago or whatever. So I think that they've gone out there and they've found some little experienced pieces, and suddenly this young team, I mean, look, this is Bobby Witt Jr., and they got a lot of young guys, but suddenly this young team has a lot of proven veterans that there were no guarantees they would be here this year, from Michael Wacha to Michael Lorenzen, now going out and getting a Mark Canha. And so there's a lot of been there before, done that, which is what they went out and got with the Tommy Pham's of the world at the end of last year.
Right now we're talking to Joel Goldberg, talking about this year's Kansas City Royals. I made this point earlier in the week that I think this season comes down to Vinny Pasquantino and Seth Lugo. If Vinny takes that next step, and it looks like he was on the path before the injury happens, if we're talking about Vinny being a guy that hits 26 home runs and has 110 RBIs, what does that mean for the Royals? And looking at Seth Lugo, last year is an anomaly for him. That was him putting it together, having a career year. Was that just a one-off, or can he replicate his success? If he replicates that with Cole Reagans, and you mentioned the other moves that they made in the bullpen, this is going to be one of the better rotations and staffs in the American League.
Agreed. And, let's talk about both of those, because I don't know how to evaluate Seth Lugo's situation, because all of the years of experience he has were in the bullpen. And it's now been 2 years in a rotation. I mean, the Royals were interested, if I remember and understood it correctly, they weren't ready to take a chance on that yet. They were interested. So he proved himself in San Diego. So a guy that's in his 30s, you know, you might say, well, you know, is that, to find that where he did at that age, like, is that a fluke? But it's really his second full year of starting. And so there's not as much mileage on that arm. And maybe, possibly, this is just a, hey, somebody should have found this earlier. Like, he always wanted to start. The Mets didn't put him in that role. He fit somewhere else for them. And maybe this is more like a 27 or 28-year-old. That would be the hope for me. And, look, if he's not as good as last year, but he's still very good in your rotation, then you should feel pretty happy about that. So I think this one's different because I don't think there are a lot of pitchers in history that have sort of made this. You've seen a lot of guys maybe that were starters that went to bullpen, but how many guys do you see that were bullpen pieces for years that suddenly go to starters? So I think this is an unknown, but it's certainly a reasonable question. I think in Vinny's case, you should expect more. I'm sure he does. We're not talking about a 32 or 33-year-old player here. I mean, I suppose you could ask a question, too, like, is what Salvi did at 34 sustainable? And it might be with how refreshed he is with Freddie Vermeen behind the plate and, you know, playing for a winner. But I think that if Vinny's healthy, and I'm not talking about the hamstring or anything. I mean, like, there's no – last year's injury in September was a fluke. I think most of us would agree that if he doesn't get hurt and probably rush back, which anybody would, to find a way to help somehow in the playoffs. But don't you sit there and wonder what a Royals playoff team would have looked like last year with a healthy Vinny Pasquantino that was knocking on the door to give the Royals three 100 RBI guys. He fell, I think, just short. I think he was at 98. So there's no reason why he shouldn't progress. And so I would expect that he will. I think the other question, and I wouldn't even call it the elephant in the room. The Royals have talked about it, and MJ knows about it, is can MJ turn the corner? Like, is this the year? Because we're getting to a point now where, you know, he's been here long enough, and it's taken other players, big-time players like him, this long to figure it out. I know it's talked about a lot that he changed his stance and simplified some things with a very complicated swing, and, you know, can that now translate into everyday games? Because I believe right now, and this is why he's the X factor to me, if MJ Melendez becomes the player that he expects and that they hope and expect, then they found that hitter that they didn't get in the offseason. If he doesn't, then they got to find somebody else and figure it out as the season goes along. And I think for MJ right now, he'll get every opportunity to do this. But we're at a point now, I mean, I think back to, you know, back remember in Ned Yost's early days, he would just play guys, whether they were struggling or not, young guys, because what did you have to lose? Now, and then when they got better and it got to 14 and 15, it was like, you know, you got to be good enough to be in there. The Royals are at that point right now. And when you look at some of the players that didn't make this roster that went back to the minor leagues, those are guys that were locks for a team like this, not like this, but for a Royals team in the past. And now it's like, you know, they might go with the veteran that has more experience in that role. And so that's, I think, what is staring MJ in the face right now is that if he's producing at the level that he believes he should and that most of us think that he should, he's going to play regularly. If he's not, they've got to figure out who the right person is out there. But if he does, that might be your answer.
Yeah, I kind of look at MJ and I look at Mikel Garcia. I also look at Kyle Isbell, MJ Melendez, Michael Massey. I kind of feel like they're all in that same vein where in 14 and 15, especially in 15, how the Royals won the World Series were they got so many of their guys to play their best baseball all at the right time. Hosmer was great that year. Salvi was great that year. Mike Moustakas was great. Like, you got all of these guys and then you add a Ben Zobrist. I kind of think this team, you look at guys who you think are going to be there. Witt's going to be fantastic. You just mentioned Salvador Perez. If he can hold on for another year, Vinny Pasquantino, you need MJ Melendez to take that step this year. You need Mikel Garcia to take that step this year. And if you can have four or five of those guys playing well at the same time, you can win 91 games and really be a threat in the American League.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, what are the odds that all of them will figure it out or get to the level that you know, we would love? I don't know that. You would think all of them will. I don't know how to guess which one is going to. Look, if they all do great, but if any one of them take off, then that's a huge bonus. And then when they don't, you got to fill in those pieces. I mean, if Hunter Renfro, who slimmed out and you know, he had a bad year and some injuries and things like that, if Hunter Renfro is a little bit more of what was expected, then that becomes a gain for you. I agree with you on Kyle Isbell. I mean, Isbell's going to provide his value on defense, but if you get more on offense, then that could be a bit of a game changer. Mikel Garcia, is he at third? Is he at second? Is he in center field? He has the versatility. He has the athleticism. What does it look like for him to take next steps? And he's a younger guy. I think the reason why, for me, I look at MJ on top of that list is that when you look at, for me at least, when you look at the ceiling for all of those players, I think he has the highest ceiling. And I also think he has maybe been at the lowest level of all of them in terms of not reaching that potential. So I think the gap between the lowest that he's gotten and how high he can get is probably the largest. I think he's got the most ground to gain and maybe the most ability to do that. That's why, to me, my mind keeps going to him, because you've seen it too in stretches. When he gets hot, he can win you games and he can carry you for games at a time. It's still there, and now it's a matter of can it be there on a regular basis. But everyone, I mean, to me, Massey seems like he's the one that might be the closest, and the question on him, in his early years has been the health of the back. But I think, to me, of all those players, Massey's the one that you maybe feel the best about, but I still think MJ's the game changer.
Joel, we'll get you out of here with this. We haven't talked about the bullpen a whole lot in this conversation. Who are the three guys that you trust the most in the bullpen? Let's say they have high leverage situations this weekend. They want to get off to a good start against the team that won the division last season. Who are the three guys in that bullpen you trust to lock things down?
I've got three and a bonus. My three are obviously Lucas Ursegg. He earned that last year. He's new to us, but Carlos Estevez, we saw him a little bit more with Anaheim, maybe than with Philadelphia. But I love the fact that they went out there and said, okay, we lost out on Anthony Santander. We don't have the outfielder we want. We've liked Carlos Estevez. We've got the money. Let's go get him. So they went out there, and for me, in Estevez, if he's your, we know Q. He's gonna go matchups. So, for the fantasy baseball fans out there, just beware that this is not your traditional, like, every day is gonna be this guy's. But I think that his being able to close at a high level then enables you to use Lucas Ursegg as that fireman that can get more than three outs. And so if the middle of the lineup comes up in the seventh or eighth inning, that's probably where you're going to see Lucas Ursegg. But those two don't have to be the only two. I think a little bit of an X factor, well, two X factors, but a little bit of a really intriguing piece for me there is Angel Serpa. What he's been able to do from the left side and starting to mature and still very young, and the sinker that he's throwing. I mean, he just has some stuff that I don't think it's the right comparison to compare him to, say, a Kelvin Herrera, but he just has some really unique stuff and throws hard, and he's putting it together at a young age, and I think that he's earned a lot of trust from them. So that's to me maybe the third guy I would list. But then the X factor plus one is Hunter Harvey, and that's really easy to be like, yeah, but that guy didn't do anything, and we traded a prospect for him. Well, he was hurt pretty much from very early on from when they got him. Never saw it. But this was a guy that was either closing or setting up in Washington and throwing hard, had great stuff and good numbers. You're not asking him now to be the ninth inning guy, although I think you could. But if he's healthy and he is what they thought he was, now you have three to four closers. And I'm not at a point where I'm ready to label them HDH, but I think we all know that you need two or three of those guys. And so I think the verdict on Hunter Harvey is we don't know just because we haven't seen it. But because we haven't seen it doesn't mean that he's been a bust or bad. It just means we haven't seen a healthy Hunter Harvey.
That is Joel Goldberg joining us on the show today to get you ready for baseball season. This time tomorrow on 96.5 The Fan, you will not be hearing my voice. You will be hearing the soft sounds of Denny Matthews calling opening day. Joel, great stuff, man. I appreciate you popping on today, man.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Joel Goldberg just didn't want to say bye to me, Rob. Just had no interest in it. Just, no, I'm done. You're done with me. I'm done with you.